Good morning, everyone. How are you? All right. I'm glad you all are here. I'm glad I'm here. Today, my topic is on Thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for His blessed benefits. And, you know, it was just recently, probably a month ago or so, that we turned our clocks back from going back to regular time. And I hope you all have adjusted to that. But I have another announcement concerning our clocks. Don't forget to turn your bathroom scales back 15 pounds Wednesday night at 1 a.m. for Thanksgiving. Actually, some of you probably should have done that before you went to the dinner yesterday, right? Adjust your scales, because this is the time of year that we do put on a few pounds, you know, from Thanksgiving through Christmas. Anyway, I'm going to start off with a little history lesson first, American history. You know, the exact date of our first American Thanksgiving is somewhat debatable, but the historical roots of or background of Thanksgiving in America are really fairly well known. I mean, you can go back to the early Spanish expeditions in the late 1500s, all the way to the colony, the English colonists that came over from England, who first settled in this land in around 1607. Each group publicly declared their gratitude to the God of the Bible. And about 13 years later, in 1620, the new settlers from England who landed in Virginia declared a day of thanksgiving for their survival on the shores of this uncharted land, now called America. In 1623, the governor, William Bradford of Plymouth Colony, established the most famous of all, a Thanksgiving observance, when there was such a bountiful harvest that prompted him to proclaim a special day, and I quote, he said, to render thanksgiving to the Almighty God for all His blessings, end of quote. Later, George Washington, our nation's first president, responded to a congressional petition by declaring Thursday, November 26, 1789, as the first Thanksgiving Day of the United States of America. And thanks to the crusade of a woman, perhaps unknown by many, Sarah Joseph Hale, she wrote letters that touched the heart of Abraham Lincoln back in 1860s, so that on October 3rd, 1863, in the midst of the horrors of the Civil War in this nation, Abraham Lincoln declared a national American holiday with this amazing proclamation for Thanksgiving. And I quote him, For the gracious gifts of the Most High, who ought to be thanked with one heart and one voice by the whole American people. End of quote. Now, other nations, a few, I would say, have adopted similar observances, but America was the first to nationally recognize its dependence on God and its thanksgiving to God for this special day, or I should with a special day, to thank Him for His many blessings. And what's sad, I think, is here we are in 2019, hundreds of years later, and as I read, and my source is Google, that there are only nine nations in the whole world. Now, there are literally hundreds of nations in this world, but there's only nine that celebrate a Thanksgiving of any kind, a Remembrance Day, or a day of giving thanks, gratitude. The USA leads the way. Our roots go back to the 1620s. And then you have Canada, who I think has a day of remembrance, and it's their Thanksgiving, if you will. China, interesting, Germany, a little island, Grenada, Japan, then there's a little island, Norfolk Island, which is an Australian territory, And then there's one town in the Netherlands, not the whole country, but one town that represents the Netherlands, and Liberia in Africa. Those are the only nations. You know who's missing? England, from which our colonists came. Isn't that interesting? I find that kind of ironic, isn't it? England does not have a day of Thanksgiving. Now, I have to wonder how our world would be changed, how different it would be, and I think certainly for the better, if suddenly all nations, all peoples, would begin to observe a day or maybe a week of Thanksgiving to God. I think it would change a lot of things. Now, let's move to the Bible, the biblical emphasis of Thanksgiving. Thankfulness in the Bible is a major theme. I mean, it's throughout the Bible, giving thanks. But the first official ceremony of Thanksgiving in the Bible is listed in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Leviticus, chapter 7, verses 11 through 15. If you remember, the Jewish people had a whole host of offerings that they made to God for sacrifices. And so this has to do with the fellowship offering or the peace offering. And here's what it reads. And I'm going to read Leviticus chapter 7, beginning in verse 11. These are the regulations for the fellowship offering a person may present to the Lord. If he offers it as an expression of thankfulness, then along with this thank offering, he's to offer cakes of bread made without yeast and mixed with oil, wafers made without yeast and spread with oil, and cakes of fine flour, well kneaded and mixed with oil. Along with his fellowship offering of thanksgiving, he's to present an offering with cakes of bread made with yeast. He is to bring one of each kind of offering, a contribution to the Lord. It belongs to the priest who sprinkles the blood of the fellowship offerings. Verse 15, the meat of his fellowship offering of thanksgiving must be eaten on the day it is offered, and he must leave none of it till morning. End of quote. That's Leviticus. Now, had to do with the fellowship and the peace offerings for thanksgiving or for their sacrifices. But what we have here is God ordained in the Old Testament this practice of specific instructions to show gratitude to God. And clearly gratitude is the door, if you will, the doorway that opens peace in our hearts. God's design for mankind is that giving thanks means receiving peace. Giving thanks in the Bible is the formula to peace, because when we are truly thankful to God, we are expressing our trust in Him, our reliance upon Him, and the end result then is peace in one's heart. So the theme of giving thanks in the Bible then continues on from those thanksgiving sacrifices in Leviticus to the Psalms and through the Psalms, because you all know there are Psalms are filled with words of giving thanks and praising God. I'll give you an example of one. Psalm 106:1, give thanks to the Lord for he is good. His love endures forever, end of quote. And later on, I'll be touching upon Psalm 103. But you know as well as I do, Psalm 100 is one as well. You have thanksgiving throughout them. And that thanksgiving theme in the Bible then continues to be practiced in the New Testament, beginning with Christ when he said, giving thanks at the Lord's Supper. Then St. Paul the Apostle wrote so many times of his gratitude to Christ and for his gratitude to the followers of Christ. Of Philemon 1:4, he says, I always thank my God in Christ as I remember you in my prayers. And I'm going to read a few of his other texts that he wrote as well. But in the New Testament, we find that the individual who thanks God and who praises God should be in very close agreement with God, so that the very act of giving thanks is in harmony, working together, if you will, in harmony with the rationale behind the thanks. The New Testament focus then is on spiritual attitudes of thanksgiving, where the attitude of giving thanks and showing gratitude is really more important than the very words of saying thank you. It's the attitude we have. Confession, or recognition of our failure to meet God's standards, is also a part of giving thanks to God. We acknowledge the receipt of God's grace and His forgiveness through our confession. Praise is also another aspect or a part of giving thanks. It's often expressed in singing and reciting the Psalms. Now, there is a difference, a unique difference between being thankful, giving thanks, and praising God. Let me mention what that is. Thankfulness to God is actually being conscious of a benefit, a gift that is received from God, a blessing. That's what thankfulness to God is. To praise God is to bless God. It is to glorify God or speak well of God. So when we praise God, we're speaking well of God, especially for who He is, for His attributes, His perfections. So when we thank God, our focus is on what God has done for us, the blessings we receive. Whereas when we praise God, when we bless Him, the focus is solely on Him alone, who He is. And we need to do both. We need to thank God. We need to praise God. And I like to think that when we praise God, we thank God. And when we thank God, we praise God. And to celebrate a day of thanksgiving is really to set aside a special day. I mean, just one day, if you will. To clearly honor God in praise and giving thanks for the enormous blessings He's bestowed upon our land and on our people. Giving thanks to God reveals a biblical foundation, because we know that this holiday, we celebrate it as a holiday, must have more to do with honoring God than any other fact or any other thing. And when you look back at history and you read about Thanksgiving in the Bible, you find that the celebration that first took place in this country, we find that God's people are to turn their hearts to Him at this time, thanking Him for all things. Our focus should be in all the circumstances that we receive blessings, the many blessings. Perhaps one of the most quoted scriptures in the New Testament says it best, written by the Apostle Paul. It's the Philippian passage, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. And I quote, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving," okay, "present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends," means it goes beyond all understanding, "will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." End of quote. That's Paul writing that. Paul also wrote Colossians, the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And listen to these words. Should be up there? Yeah. "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Verse 17, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." So those are just some of the scriptures that I wanted to make sure we covered that Paul introduced to us. But I want to call your attention to two others. Another one is from Paul, 1 Thessalonians 5. Verses 16 to 18. Listen to what Paul says. Listen to these words, and I quote, "Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Did you notice something there? You need to recognize this. The text does not say, give thanks for all circumstances. No. But rather it says, give thanks in all circumstances. While you're going through them, in all circumstances. In other words, no matter how terrible or how difficult some of the circumstances of life may be, with God's help, there will always be something for which we can be thankful. The scriptural charge is not to give thanks for everything in life. No. Rather, we are to give thanks in everything. A fine distinction, but nevertheless, it's a distinction. Thanksgiving is an unusual holiday because it combines God, government, and the culture, society. All three are involved in this Thanksgiving. And certainly in America it is. And it is generally considered acceptable for everyone, regardless of your personal religion. That's the thing about Thanksgiving, giving thanks. There's no specific religion that it speaks to, really. We are to be thankful on Thanksgiving Day. And yet we know we live in a very secular world. We have a worldly government and a worldly culture, a society. In fact, this world, this culture, in many cases, almost gags or chokes every time it has to say the word God today. The world does not like the word God. But despite that, it is good. It is good for people of all sorts, of all kinds, to come together and be thankful. But to whom are we to be thankful? That's a key question. Are we to be thankful to Mother Earth, whatever that is? Are we to be thankful to Big Brother, who that is, the government? Are we to be thankful to the stars? Oh, thank the blessed stars. What is that? Well, the answer to whom we must be thankful to is simple. It's to the Almighty God of this universe. That's who we are to be thankful to. And I encourage you this Thanksgiving to take these two safeguards to protect your Thanksgiving. Make sure you're thankful to the right somebody, and that somebody is the Almighty God. He's the one that bestows blessings. No one else does. Nothing else does. And make sure you have the right reasons to be thankful to God. So if we're going to say thank you to anyone in our spirit, in our heart, make sure it's thank you to our Creator God, the one who gave us life, the one who loves us, the one who bestows to us all blessings. Now, let's go over to Psalm 103. So if you take your Bibles, I want to look at Psalm 103, just the first five verses. Never fear. This is a Psalm of David. He knew the answer to the question about gratefulness and giving thanks, and he knew the right person to whom he should be thankful. And by the way, if this sounds familiar to you, Psalm 103, yes, I did preach a message here June 2nd of this last year on Psalm 103. But I started at verse 6, just so you know. And I talked about, do you know God's heart? Because verses 6 through the rest of it is all about God's heart for us. But let me focus on the first five verses. Okay? And if anyone had a cause to be thankful, to lift his voice, if you will, in praise and thanksgiving to God, David was the guy. He was the man. I mean, he was a shepherd boy who became the first real hero of a growing nation. He was a hunted fugitive who became its king. David was its second king, the second king of Israel. And his son became king after him. He was a condemned sinner who became, as the Bible says, a man after God's own heart. Psalm 103 is a prayer of David, in which he talks to his own soul, reminds himself to bless the Lord and forget not all his benefits. A great psalm. Let me read the first couple of verses. David, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. That's his soul, okay? Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know, to me, my picture is, if David had a mirror, he's looking at the mirror at himself, and he's saying, okay, soul, David, the real David, you need to be doing something. You need to be doing something. Things that you're not doing. You need to be reminded of some facts that you've forgotten. You need to be thankful to God. That's how I picture happening. And I don't know if he did that or if he was depressed or discouraged or just drifting along at this point in life. But I'll tell you what, from the sounds of those first five verses, it sounds like he's reflecting on himself and who he is and how he relates to his God. Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked in the mirror? Besides in the morning when you're there, and men, if you're going to shave, you look at it and you go, whoa, who's that guy? Okay? Where you look at yourself and you give yourself a heart-to-heart talk with your inmost being, your soul. You lay all the cards on the table and you say, you know, there's some things you need to be doing. You better get right with God. Well, that's a healthy thing. That's good. A lot of people probably have done that before they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a real look at the inside person. And that caused them to call out to God. Anyway, we need a good dose of Psalm 103, I'll tell you that. This is his personal thanksgiving, all right? He reviews the mercy of God and he blesses. He speaks well of the Lord for his salvation. Now, praise the Lord, O my soul, and not forget all his benefits. Thankfulness to God is actually being conscious of a benefit, of a gift, of a blessing that has been received. And to praise God, to bless God, then I said, as I said, is to glorify him, to speak well of him, who he is. So David gives us five blessed benefits here. Here's the first benefit. It's in verse 3. We're not to forget who forgives all our sins. That's his pardon, his forgiveness, God's forgiveness. See, when Christ died on the cross for our sins, we were not born, so all of our sins were still in the future, right? When we come to Christ and we trust in him, in who he is and what he's done, then all of our sins are forgiven and we're declared holy, righteous. But understand, all the sins, past, present, and the yet to be committed sins are forgiven. The ones that, if we knew what they were going to be, they would shock us. But all of those are forgiven. Now make note of this. God doesn't heal us from sins, folks. He forgives us our sins, all right? It doesn't heal us. We still have that sin nature within us. We still have the sin disability until one day we're in heaven, and then that'll be over with as well. But understand, he doesn't heal us from our sins. He forgives us of our sins. That's the first blessing. Praise God. Second benefit, verse 3. We're not to forget the fact that he, what? Heals all our diseases. All our diseases. That's in verse 3 there, the second part. Now, don't misunderstand this. This is not a promise that you'll never get sick. It's not a promise that you're going to be healed of your physical illnesses or disabilities, whatever they might be. The Bible does not teach that. Does not teach that. In fact, that would contradict so many other scriptures if you believe that. But we do know that many of God's best servants, his best children, have been sick and afflicted and have never been healed in this life. St. Paul is one of those. Despite his prayers, he was never healed of whatever that thorn in the flesh was that bothered him so much. He was never healed. I think of another one. Fanny Crosby. Anybody remember that name? The great hymn writer? Fanny Crosby. A woman who was blind all her life and wrote beautiful music and hymns about God. Another English poet, John Milton, a great poet, great author. He was a Puritan, so he lived way back in the 1600s. Was a man that was also blind. One of my more contemporary favorite heroes, and I don't have many heroes, but Johnny Erickson Tada. You might know her as Johnny, J-O-N-I. And I remember reading her life story when I became a brand new believer in Christ. At age 17, as a high school girl, she dove into the water at Chesapeake Bay out east in a shallow part and broke her neck. A high school swimmer and diver broke her neck and the vertebrae in her back, and she became immediately a paraplegic. She is now 70 years old, still confined to that electric wheelchair, married, has been married many years. And I think about her how often, and she has written some beautiful things, Christian spiritual attitudes, that kind of thing. And yet she has not been healed. She has not been. Now, we may not understand everything that happens in life to us or to other people, but I am convinced that God is still the great physician. He is still the great healer. And he knows the deepest needs of our lives even better than we do. But understand that any healing in this life is very limited. And it's very temporary as well. Because our ultimate healing comes when we're raised immortal, incorruptible, at that resurrection day, and the day when we receive our new glorified bodies with no more frailties or weaknesses. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29, the author Moses speaks of the nature of God, and here's what it says, that God has the power over life and death and the power to wound or heal. To wound or heal. Okay? End of quote. So after the doctors and after the nurses and all of the medical system, after they've done all they can do, after the latest technology, after the newest and best medications available, we have to understand that healing still comes from the Lord God. But between now and our resurrection day, whether we're sick, whether we're healthy, we are to give thanks to the Lord. Bless him every bit, for every bit of healing that you do have, that you do experience. Bless his holy name and give him thanks. The third benefit found in verse 4 has to do with deliverance. It says, we are not to forget, or it says, who redeems your life from the pit. And that speaks of deliverance, because the word redeem, to redeem, means to rescue, to deliver from danger in the time of trouble. The pit speaks of death itself. So we are redeemed, we're delivered from that. Now think about this for a moment. Not only does God redeem us or deliver us from all our sins and delivers us to be saved, God has also preserved you and me to this very moment. He has protected us every step of our journey in life thus far. Therefore, we're all here today, alive. Now, if God willed it to be, you could die today. But that cannot happen without God's permission. Satan himself cannot touch you or hurt you without God's permission. So God is the only one who is to decide when and how a person should die. The psalmist said to God, Psalm 31, verse 15, my times are in your hands. Job said these words in Job 1, verse 21, God is the giver and the taker of life. So understand, and this is what we're to be thankful for. Every day the Lord God rescues us. He delivers us in a million ways that we can't see, that we're not even aware of. His angels encamp around us to deliver us from all kinds of trouble and evil. And yet one day when the time comes to die, we will die. Are you grateful? Are you thankful for this, if I may quote, perpetual preservation by God himself? Well, then we need to praise him today and give him the glory and thank him. Here's the fourth benefit. It's also in verse 4. It says that we encrowns you with the love and compassion. Crowns you with love and compassion. That's coronation, some people will call that. Coronation, crowning. A lot of the older translations of the Bible will say that God crowns us with his loving kindness and mercy. What it refers to is this loyal, unending, unchanging love of God toward us. He piles up his blessings and he pours them out on us. And he crowns us with, if you picture a royal crown of a king or queen, he crowns us with tender mercies and compassions. Tender mercies means that God knows what we're going through. He meets us where we are. I find it interesting when people pray, and I'm in that group too. When we pray to God, we almost never pray, Lord, give me justice today. Right? Lord, I want you to be fair to me today. Well, because we don't want God's justice, or we don't want him to be fair with us. What we want and what we pray for is, Lord, give me mercy today. Give me grace today. Show me compassion today. That's what we really want. But this word crown is a metaphor. It's a figure of speech. It's not a literal crown that fits on our head like a king and queen at homecoming. But it does remind us, when it says that God crowns us with his tender mercies, it reminds us of our position as the children of God. He's the king. We are children of royalty. It's the privilege of every true Christian to be crowned with the love and the compassion of God, because it gives us dignity and value. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, the fifth benefit in verse 5. Let us not, did I miss that? Who satisfies your desires with good things. Let's not miss that one. He satisfies us. That's satisfaction. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He satisfies you and me with good things. Let me underscore that for a moment. That means there is nothing on this earth that can satisfy us completely or fully or deeply except God himself. The good things come from God. Not from anyone else, not from anything we have around us. It is God who fills my life. He fills your life with good things. Now, some at the first reading might say, oh, good things, yeah, that sounds great. Man, that must mean material benefit. It must mean he's going to bless me with more money and status and give me some kind of recognition, or maybe a nice big house, or maybe I'll win the lottery. No, it's none of that. That's not the good things that's being talked of here. The emphasis is not on what we possess, my friends. The emphasis here is on what possesses us, or who possesses us. Who owns us? It's God. To be satisfied fully? Well, Thanksgiving's a good time to talk about that, because on Turkey Day, on Thanksgiving Day, most people eat so much that they are so full by mid-afternoon or early afternoon that they can't have another piece of pumpkin pie or another morsel of food. But you know what? That's just a temporary satisfaction. That's a physical, earthly satisfaction. Because you know what happens. By, 7, 8 o'clock at night, there's somebody in your household that's looking in the refrigerator for more cold turkey or whatever it might be, another piece of pie. That's how it works in a temporary world, okay? A physical world. But David here speaks of a satisfaction that is so deep, deeper than anything we can imagine or know, anything that the world can offer us. This beats it all. I will give you, God says, I will give you whatever you need so you can soar like the eagle. Now that's a mysterious image in it. But I find it kind of ironic again that, you know, our national emblem, our bird, if you will, national bird, is the eagle, the American eagle. There's a reason for that. Has a tremendous wingspan, certainly. Has tremendous strength. An eagle has tremendous strength, speed, energy. Well, those are characteristics of youth. Young people have strength and they have speed and they have energy, they have life. That's young people. That's why he's using that. That actually, I think he borrowed from Isaiah 40, verses 29 to 31, because that's where it's found earlier, those words. You will soar like an eagle. Be thankful. God will renew your spirit, our being, our energy, our outlook, our attitude, so that we can soar like an eagle. That's what it means to be fully satisfied with energy like that of an eagle. Fill your life with good gifts and you'll have that. Okay, the five, remember this. Thank them for the benefit of forgiveness or pardon, healing, redemption or deliverance, crowning, and satisfaction. And all of these things form a perfect summary of giving thanks to God for anyone who wants to wake up their soul and praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's pray. I'm going to read a prayer. This is a prayer of David. It's a thanksgiving prayer, really, from 1 Chronicles 29. This will be our closing prayer. 1 Chronicles 29, verses 10 to 13. You've heard this before. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." Verse 13. "Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.